You have your Bible, turn with me to 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. We'll take up the building fund offering at the close of service. I forgot to announce that, but in fact, I almost forgot about it, and I had to call Virginia, tell her to bring me the checkbook. I've got to make the building fund offering, and I really wanted to do that so she'd be sure and write her check. No, I'm teasing. I'm teasing. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When he shall appear. Every man, every woman who tries to live for God will make some enemies along the way. This world is not always friendly towards God as a whole. And I think you will find that if you stand for the things of God, you will find that there will be adversaries that will rise up against you, maybe even hate you. Some will seek to harm and hurt you. But Jesus said that we could expect this. He said, in the world, you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He said that if the world persecuted him, the Master, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it would also persecute us. He, the Master, was persecuted, and so we as Christians can expect no better, but we'll be persecuted as well. The Bible gives us a very good example of a man that went through difficult times. His name was David. He was the king of Israel. He was not only a man that loved God, but the Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. He was an individual that knew what it was to go through adversity and trials. And we see him crying out for God to deliver him. He said, they're trying to devour me as a lion devours its prey. But he ends up with a note of victory. He said, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. What is David saying that he wants to share with us today? One, we shall live again. You know, death ends all that is material, all that is physical, but not all that is spiritual. He says that we are going to awake one day. In fact, the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So we know we're going to awake. In the words of the old spiritual that says there's going to be a great getting up morning, one of these days, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to call us up to meet him in the air, and we'll be with him for all eternity. He says, I go and prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, he said, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So we rejoice this morning in the fact that we have a blessed hope beyond this life that we live. Now, we also know that there are scoffers out there who do not believe in a resurrection. They say that when you die, that everything is going to stop and cease, just like an animal. You die, you turn back to dust, and that's all that there is. But the Bible reminds us that there's more beyond this veil of tears. We're just passing through, and when God breathed into our nostrils when we were born, and he molded and shaped us and made us a vessel of honor, he gave us something that will never die. He gave us a soul. And he said, the soul of a man will never die. All the way from the book of Genesis to Revelation, God's word rings out with that truth that if you die, you'll live again. You'll live again. That is, you'll never die. You'll lay down this robe of flesh, this tabernacle of clay. It'll all go back to dust, but one of these days, the old body will come forth out of the grave. You can be cremated. You can be put in the grave. You can be thrust in the ocean. But God will bring the body back, and he'll make it an incorruptible body. An incorruptible body. Many don't want to believe in a future life. And I guess the reason why is they're living in sin. Living in sin. They hate the things of God. They don't like church. They really don't like God. And brethren, we're living in a day when this is certainly being intensified. America is soon becoming a pagan nation. They don't want to think about a future life when they will stand before God. Jesus Christ will one day remove his mediatorial robes, and he'll put on the robe of the judge. And he is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he is going to execute judgment. Everybody will stand before him and give an account for the life that they have lived. Everybody. It's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this, the face, the judgment. The judgment. Many are going by their own logic, but I can tell you this morning that you don't know until you read this book, what's best for your life. There's a lot of folks just staggering through life. They're just going through life and they're ignoring the most important thing of all. You know, if I knew I was sick, you know, I had kind of felt bad for a week or two or three there. And I started getting out the insurance, but you know, we all know that one of these days we're going to have to leave the walk of this life. And you know, we're going through this life and people don't want to think about the fact that I'm going to die. Do you really believe that you're going to live forever down here? No, not intended, is it? Not intended. Once appointed to die, then the judgment. But the soul of a man will live on. It'll never, ever die. Nobody knows about the future life. Jesus was slain on a very cruel day when the heavens darkened. The thunder began to roll. Jesus Christ cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Jesus Christ was the one that went to the cross of Calvary, not because he had done anything wrong. He had never sinned. But he took our sins in his body on the tree. And he died for you and you and you and me and for the whole world. He made it possible that everybody could be saved. Now we know everybody's not going to be saved. As I stated the other night, the blood of Christ is sufficient for everyone. But it's only sufficient for those that believe and accept Jesus Christ as personal Savior. But he hung upon that tree that day in order that we might have forgiveness of our sins. And he established the fact of a future life. You remember when he was resurrected on the third day, that the disciples saw him on numerous occasions. And then over 500 brethren saw him, the resurrected Christ, when he was on the face of this earth. They gave testimony to that fact. And he said, because I live, ye shall live also. In Luke chapter 16, Jesus tells the story of two men. He told of a rich man and a poor man who both lived in this world and they died. And it says that they went to the other side and the Lord pictures them there. Lazarus went to heaven to be with the Lord. He was in Abraham's bosom or heaven, paradise, whatever you want to call it. The rich man dies, went into hell. And so the Bible tells us that there's more beyond this life. You're going to live here. You're going to do all that you do, but one day just know this, that you will die and one day you will stand before God and account for the life that you've lived. You cannot avoid that. The rich man cried out from hell, Father Abraham, send Lazarus down that he may take a drop of water on the tip of his finger and put it to my tongue and my lips, for I am tormented in this flame. He also said, Father Abraham, I don't want my brothers to come here. I've got five, and if they're not warned, they're going to come here just like me. Send Lazarus back that he may tell them. And the Lord said, there's a great gulf fixed. That's not possible. But Jesus said these two men lived after death. You'll live. In fact, once God breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, you will never, ever die. You're going to live on somewhere. You know what? I am marching in the Lord's army. I like that song the kids would sing. I'm marching in the Lord's army, you know? And I know that one of these days I'm going to march up to the throne of grace and I'm going to bow before him that is King of kings and Lord of lords. And I'm going to say, Lord, I praise you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me the opportunity for ministry. I can tell you one day you'll go out to the cemetery. One day you will go, and I'm sure that all of us have already, and we've seen that open grave, and we see the casket containing the body of one that we love. And we say to ourselves, that grave is not going to hold my beloved forever. Not going to hold. You see, Jesus Christ broke the bonds of death and the grave on the third day. And he said, because I live, you shall live also. Thank God. We shall live again. David says, I will behold thy face. You know, I've often thought, wouldn't it have been nice to have been there when Jesus walked the face of the earth? Wouldn't it have been nice to be able to be there at the Jordan River and see John the Baptist baptize Jesus? Wouldn't it have been nice to be one of the disciples and see him perform all of his miracles? You see, Pilate even saw him as he stood in his court and he said, I can find no fault with the man. The thief that was beside him recognized deity, didn't he? And he cried out, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus was dying on the cross of Calvary, but he said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Today. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall see him, and that we shall be like him, and we will see him as he is. You remember Stephen? The Bible tells us because he stood for the Lord, they took him outside the city and they stoned him to death. But before he died, the Bible said his face did shine with the glory of another world. And he looked up into the heavens, and the Lord parted the heavens to where Stephen could see. And he said, I see the Son of God standing on the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. And he rejoiced, even in his dying hour. And then we get to heaven through righteousness. Not our righteousness, is it? In fact, the Bible said our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. All we have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible tells us about the righteousness of Jesus Christ. It's an imputed righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or credited unto him for righteousness that he was called the friend of God. Now we know there's human righteousness, which isn't very much. In the beginning, Adam and Eve were born, or really created by God. They were brought into this world by a miracle of God, and they were without sin. And if they had not ever committed any sin, Jesus would not have had to die for the sins of the world. But because they did sin, and they tainted the entire human race with their sin, it was necessary that he come and die for our sins. And then the Bible tells us about the fact of self-righteousness. What'd they do when they sinned? What'd they do? The Bible tells us that they went out and got some fig leaves. They saw that they were naked in the sight of God, and they wanted to cover that nakedness. They didn't know that until they had sinned. And so they went out and got some fig leaves and began to sew them together in order to make a covering for their sins. But found that that was not sufficient. And the Lord had to kill an animal, shed the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And he made a covering for their sinfulness and their nakedness. Then he tells us about the imputed righteousness, the righteousness of God. You see, I cannot get to heaven unless I am just as righteous and as holy as Jesus Christ. You can't get to heaven without being just as righteous and pure and holy as Jesus Christ. You say, Carl, I can't do it on my own. No, you can't. But when Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross, when you accept him as personal Savior, confess your sins, make him Lord and Savior of your life, he will give you his righteousness. He will do for you what you can't do for yourself. And when you stand before God in his righteousness, the Father will say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Behold, I'll make you ruler over many. I'm going to tell you, one of the greatest miracles that I think that's ever been performed, David said, I shall be satisfied when I awake with your likeness. I wish that we were more like Jesus now. We were more holy and righteous and pure and kind and gentle. But I know the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:49, and as we have borne the image of the earthly, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile bodies, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body. I cannot think of anything any more wonderful than the fact that when we come and stand before him on the day of judgment, when we stand before him on that day, We will not stand in our own righteousness, but we'll stand in his righteousness, that he's able to perform the greatest miracle of all, to make us like unto himself, that we'll be like Jesus. Isn't that amazing? I'm telling you, the Lord loves us. He wants everybody to be saved. We're passing through one time. What we do, we better do quickly. Because I'm telling you, you look in the obituary page and there are folks that are up in years that die, middle age and young. You don't know. It's appointed unto a man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Will you bow with me for prayer?